This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Dystopian is a bit strong, just a little bit strong. President Trump delivered a decidedly dark inaugural address today, most of it economic.
We've made other countries rich, while the wealth, strength, and confidence of our country has dissipated over the horizon.
He talked grimly about manufacturing.
One by one, the factories shuttered and left our shores with not even a thought about the millions and millions of American workers that were left behind.
Same for jobs.
The wealth of our middle class has been ripped from their homes and then redistributed all across the world.
And he said he was going to fix it.
But that is the past. And now we are looking only to the future.
It was a short speech, just shy of 18 minutes all in. We are going to spend the next four or so talking about what happens now. Catherine Rempel is at the Washington Post. Cardiff Garcia is at the blog FT Alphaville. They are both in our studios in New York. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
So, Cardiff, let me start with you. Were you surprised, taken aback at all, at how economically dark this speech was?
I was less surprised by what he said than by what he didn't say. So most of what he said was merely a continuation of the themes that he was talking about on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
But I did kind of expect him to at least offer some sign of reconciliation with the Democrats, who, let's not forget, did have the candidate that won the popular vote. There wasn't really any of that. I think those who were expecting it ended up just watching the speech in vain.
Catherine, what'd you think when you were watching?
I would agree that it seemed to be a continuation of a lot of the rhetoric he used on the campaign trail. What was a little bit odd about that, though, is that during the campaign, you want to describe America as a hellhole, basically, because you need someone as great as the candidate who is speaking to rescue us from this hellhole. And I would have expected there to be somewhat of a more uplifting message. And Trump did sort of allude to the fact that he was going to fix things. I mean, he said he was going to fix things. Things were going to be made great again. Right. But it wasn't quite as uplifting.
Yeah. All right. I got one more piece of tape from the speech I want to play for you and then get your take on how that's going to work in what is, we all know, to be a global economy. Here it is. Hang on.
We will follow two simple rules. Buy American and hire American.
Catherine, how does that work in a global economy? And also, we should note that Mr. Trump does not do that with his own companies.
Does not, has not, continues to not do that, of course. How does that work in a global economy? I don't know. I mean, look, you can try to incentivize firms to do more of their business here through the tax code or penalties of various kinds. There are limits on how much you can do that without sparking a trade war. And beyond that, if you try to mandate too much in the way of buy American, et cetera, like for the federal government or otherwise, you could run afoul of some WTO agreement type provisions.
Right. Yep. So, Cardiff, we are looking at arguably the biggest change in American economic policy in a generation or more. We always say, though, the business press does, listen, the president doesn't have that much control over the economy and what happens. Is this maybe the exception that proves the rule that what Mr. Trump is going to do might actually upend things?
I would actually argue in the other direction. The ability of a president to influence the economy. Yeah, no, it changes with circumstances. And when we're in a crisis, for instance, and there's a call to do something big and radical like the stimulus that Barack Obama passed 8 years ago, it can get done. It's a little bit harder to convince people to go your way when things are going relatively well. And I think right now Donald Trump has a couple of problems. One is that Republicans don't like to spend money. And the other is that Democrats don't like Donald Trump. And some of his planning does call for doing things that the Republicans themselves don't seem to want to do, and even some people on his cabinet don't want to do. So I think he's going to have to navigate some really tough tides in order to enact anything really, really big.
Catherine, that tide will include the chairwoman of the Fed, Janet Yellen. She gave a speech this week in which she said, basically, economy's humming right along. We're where we want to be on jobs. We're close to where we want to be on inflation, which everybody watching translated into, oh, yeah, the Fed's going to hike rates, which is going to do the current occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue no economic favors.
Well, in the long term, it would, in fact. I mean,
yeah,
if
well,
we
that's,
have
yes,
a major...
Yes.
Yes, if we have a major stimulus package now, when we're basically at full employment or something close to it, when interest rates, inflation rates are rising, and she talked about that in her speech as well, you risk having the economy overheat. So raising interest rates to sort of counteract expansionary fiscal policy actually does the president a solid if, in fact, it keeps the economy from overheating.
I love that we got the president being done a solid here on Marketplace. Catherine Rempel from The Washington Post, Cardiff Garcia from the blog FD Alpha. Have a nice weekend, you two.
Thanks, Guy.